Trinity's one-of-a-kind church choir. Today, with the beautiful assistance and leadership of Louise and the choir, we're going to be leading the service today, which is going to be a musical message that celebrates the hymnary of Fanny Crosby. As we get started today, we acknowledge that the land upon which we gather is unceded Mi'kmaq territory. Epiquette, Prince Edward Island, is covered by the historic treaties of peace and friendship. We pay our respects to the Indigenous Mi'kmaq people who have occupied this land for over 12,000 years, past, present, and future. Let us prepare our minds for worship. We light the Christ candle with open minds and grateful hearts. May it be a sign of our faith and a beacon of welcome to all who gather here today.
Welcome to this service in the midst of summer warmth and color.
Bienvenue à cette célébration alors que l'été est à son apogée.
We have come excited to experience God's word in Scripture.
Nous nous réunissons pour écouter la parole de Dieu relevée dans les Écritures.
We are here to praise our Creator and give our thanks.
Nous nous réunissons pour célébrer notre Créateur et pour lui exprimer notre gratitude.
We have come to raise our spirits to the heavens in song.
Nous nous réunissons pour élever nos cœurs vers le ciel grâce à nos chants.
We are here to offer prayers for a better world for everyone.
Nous nous réunissons pour présenter nos prières pour un monde meilleur.
We gather here as one community to worship together and be reminded to love one another.
Nous nous réunissons en tant que communauté pour unir nos voix en louange et pour nous rappeler de nous aimer les uns les autres.
We have come as one family of God, eager to be prompted in the ways of holy goodness and loving kindness.
Nous sommes réunis en tant que famille de Dieu, prêts à nous engager sur le chemin de la bonté et de l'amour inconditionnel.
Come, let us worship God.
Ensemble, louons le Seigneur. Please join us for hymn 635, All the Way My Savior Leads Me. With your bread, you feed us, gracious God. With your spirit, you fill creation. With your love, you change the world. With your Christ, you bring new life. You are in the words we express. You are in the songs we sing. You are in the love we share. Hallelujah, 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 amen. Please join us as we say the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and lead us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Well, if there are any young people that wish to come to the front, I have a little story that I'm going to share. If you feel more comfortable staying there, I can come to you. It's up to you. We're going to share a little story today called Hey Little Ant. And this is a book that was written by Philip and Hannah Hoos with illustrations by Debbie Tilley. And I hope that you'll be able to kind of connect the dots between the message that we're going to share in the music today and the message in this little story. So I'm going to come right down here and just show some of these pictures. So, Hey Little Ant. So the kid starts, he's talking to the ant, and he says, "Hey, little ant down in the cracks, can you hear me? Can you talk back? See my shoe? Can you see that? Well, now it's going to squish you flat." "Oh," says the ant, "please, oh, please do not squish me. Change your mind and let me be. I'm on my way with a crumb of pie. Please, oh, please don't make me die." "Anyone knows that ants can't feel. You're so tiny, you don't even look real. I'm so big and you're so small, I don't think it would hurt at all. But you were a giant, and giants can't know how it feels to be an ant. Come down close, I think you'll see that you are very much like me." "Are you crazy, kid? Me like you? I have a home and a family, too. You're just a speck that runs around. No one would care if my foot came down." "Oh, big friend, you are so wrong. My nest mates need me because I'm strong. I dig our nest and I feed baby ants, too. I must not die beneath your shoe. But my mom says that ants are rude. They carry off our picnic food. They steal our chips and breadcrumbs too. It's good if I squish an ant like you." "Yeah. Hey, I'm not a crook, kid. Read my lips. Sometimes ants need crumbs and chips. One little chip can feed my town. So please, don't make your shoe come down." "But all my friends squish ants each day. Squishing ants is a game we play. They're looking at me, they're listening too, and they all say I should squish you. I can see you're big and strong. Decide for yourself what's right and wrong. If you were me and I were you, what would you want me to do?" Should the ant get squished? Should the ant go free? It's up to the kid, not up to me. We'll leave the kid with the raised up shoe. What do you think the kid should do?
Squish.
You think he should squish him? I don't know. The ant made a pretty good case, didn't she? Yeah, she made a pretty good case. It did rhyme, yeah. Yeah. So sometimes it's hard, isn't it, when things are so teeny and they seem so unimportant and, you know, like they don't matter, to maybe think, I wonder if they do have a purpose. Wonder if they do matter. Wonder if there's things they can do. Yeah. Yeah. Well, I'll send this back with you if you want to have a look at the pictures. Yeah. Thanks for coming up to the front to hear that story of the Hey Little Ant. Thank you for listening. And we're going to sing together 357 in Voices United. Tell me the stories of Jesus.
I would ask you.
And our scripture today is from Matthew 15, verses 21 to 28. I'm going to read from the screen because I think my version is a little bit different. The Canaanite woman's faith, Jesus left the... Canaanite woman's faith. I better start all together. Jesus left that place and went away to the district of Tyre and Sidon. Just then, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and started shouting, "Have mercy on me, Lord, son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon." But he didn't answer her at all. And his disciples came and urged him, saying, "Send her away, for she keeps shouting after us." He answered, "I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." But she came and knelt before him, saying, "Lord, help me." He answered, "It is not fair to take the children's food and throw it to the dogs." She said, "Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table." Then Jesus answered her, "Woman, great is your faith. Let it be done for you as you wish." And her daughter was healed from that moment.
Thank you, Louise. Blessed assurance. This is a phrase that comforts me, even though I don't fully understand what it means. So I hope this morning that we can share in a journey to explore the text of this song and learn a little bit about its author. Thank you for inviting me to speak and to worship with you all this morning. Thank you to Louise for digging out so many of Fanny Crosby's hymns, for playing and for holding this all together today. And thank you to the worship committee for supporting regular folks in sharing a spiritual message. Blessed Assurance is perhaps the most well-known hymn text written by the American hymnist Fanny Crosby. Actually, almost all of the hymns included in the service today are written by Fanny Crosby. Except Kind of Yes and Kind of No for the children's hymn, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. That hymn text is credited to William H. Parker, an American lawyer and freelance hymnist who wrote the text in 1885. However, I wonder if it was mostly inspiration from Fanny Crosby's ideas that he used. Her hymn, called Tell Me the Story of Jesus, printed in 1880, has very similar words and certainly a similar sentiment. It's hard to tell when the tunes are different, but I wonder if William Parker was inspired by Mrs. Crosby's text, kind of like how Robert Schumann's songs were enhanced by Clara, or how Mozart vamped on tunes that he heard his sister, Nannerl, play. In any case, we included Tommy the Stories of Jesus because it came from the same era, it has very similar words with a lovely message, and I wonder. You can write your own research paper about that if you want, but the point is that throughout music history, for every male composer you know, there were women writing music too that you probably don't know about. It's kind of fun to think about how at the end of the 1800s, in the height of the Victorian era, there were a number of factors that helped to encourage music and art. At that time, we have a thriving middle class. They have money to spend on going to concerts and galleries. Many, if not most, middle-class families had pianos in their homes. The same way that we might download a song from iTunes or find it on Spotify after we see a concert, this middle-class population had a voracious appetite for sheet music. People would rush out and buy the music that they heard at a local concert hall, or the hymns from church. They'd learn to play it at home for small groups of family and friends. Out of this climate, the parlor song and the sentimental ballad were born. You might have heard of I Love You Truly or The End of a Perfect Day by Carrie Jacobs Bond. Those are examples, right, of parlor songs and sentimental ballads. And this is the style of music that our hymns come out of today. A sentimental ballad is a story through which the composer purposefully intends to evoke an emotional response. The song might be nostalgic, remembering a simpler or better time. It may include reflections on life experiences or events. It's about feelings that are shared with the listener through music. So in the case of a hymn written in this style, we're invited to be sentimental in a way about our relationship with God. Maybe we fondly remember a time when we were held in God's arms, or we imagine God's warm embrace when we meet God in heaven. While that may not be my vision or yours of who and what God is, Fanny Crosby's hymn does paint a kind of Victorian greeting card image of her sentimental relationship with her God. So just a little bit about the hymnist, Fanny Crosby, born in 1830 in Brewster, New York. Her father died when she was 6 months old, so she was raised by her mother and grandmother. It's believed that she was blind by the age of 6 months. She had family lineage with the Puritans, connections with Mayflower families as well as abolitionists, and was even a distant relative to the familiar Bing Crosby as well as jazzer Howard Crosby. The matriarchs who raised her were devout Christians, requiring her to memorize scripture and attend the local Methodist church. She was also tutored in music. At age 15, she applied to attend the New York Institute for the Blind, where she studied for 6 years and then remained for several more after graduation as a teacher. She met her husband there, who was a student in one of her classes, and then left teaching to marry. Fanny was a poet. She made a good living publishing her poems, in fact, over 8,000 of them. She also wrote under nearly 200 pseudonyms, which helps to confirm my suspicion about William Parker and Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. Many of her poems became hymns. For a few, she also wrote the music, but for the majority, it was the words. Crosby described her hymn writing process, saying, "It may seem a little old-fashioned to always begin one's work with prayer, but I never undertake a hymn without first asking the good Lord to be my inspiration." Biographies suggest that she could compose 6 or 7 hymns in a day entirely in her mind and then dictate them, totally finished, to her husband or her sister-in-law, who would write them down. At times, she worked on 20, even up to 40 hymns at one time. Fanny was an activist and a philanthropist. She donated almost all of her substantial royalties to homeless shelters and charities in New York City. For more than 30 years, she volunteered in shelters as a nurse, helper, and administrator, where she was affectionately known as everybody's Aunt Fanny. She was the first woman to speak in the U.S. Senate when, in 1843, she read a poem in front of Congress to lobby for the rights of the blind. She often said that she was grateful for her blindness because it gave her greater education, greater opportunities, and greater faith. About this, she wrote, "Oh, what a happy soul am I, although I cannot see. I am resolved that in this world contented I will be. How many blessings I enjoy that other people don't. To weep and sigh because I'm blind, I cannot and I won't." She passed away in 1915 of a cerebral hemorrhage at the age of 94. And then in 1975, she was inducted posthumously into the Gospel Music Hall of Fame. Even to this day, many communities celebrate a Fanny Crosby Day in late March. It's remarkable to think that a blind woman living in the late 1800s had such a lasting impact. American writer Tasha Silver wrote a book called Outrageous Openness: Letting the Divine Take the Lead, where she offers reflections and anecdotes on how she has learned to be guided to take the right actions at the right times and to enjoy the spectacular divine show that is life. She comments, "Have you ever noticed how some people will rush to discourage a certain goal? Or at least let you know how futile, exhausting, or expensive your attempt will be before you even start?" She says, "I like to play a game with that. I always take their discouraging words and then add, without God. As in, it's impossible to find a good job in this economy right now, without God. Or, you'll never be able to find a parking spot in there, without God." I think Tasha Silver's without God game fits really well with Fanny Crosby's life and works. It would be understandable that being a blind woman in a time that was dominated by men, for her to just decide, "I can't do this," or "I can't do anything without God." Or, "I won't be able to find anyone to compose the right tune for this without God." Maybe there are places where each of us could play the without God game too. "I'll never get these kids to fall asleep without God. I have no patience left for the people in this grocery store line without God." There are a few lines in this hymn, Blessed Assurance, that really stand out for me, and I'd like to just tell you a little bit about why and what I think those lines could mean. Fanny Crosby writes, "Perfect submission, perfect delight, visions of rapture now burst on my sight." So let's just deconstruct that a little bit. Perfect submission. I have devoted my life to faith and doing God's work. I have made myself into the perfect submission that I give freely to God. Perfect delight. I have delighted in my life's work, and I know that God is pleased and delights in me. Visions of rapture. I can see what is coming to me. Rapture might be an experience of being carried away by an overwhelming emotion. Rapture might be a mystical experience in which the spirit is exalted by knowledge of divine things. Or it might even be the final moment when Christians are meeting God in heaven during the end of time. There's a lot in that one little word. And then burst on my sight. She doesn't need her physical, earthly eyes to see what God has in store for her. Visions of rapture burst on her sight. She just knows it's going to be awesome there. The third verse starts with the words, "Perfect submission, all is at rest." This reminds me that a submission can be something we prepare and give. Like, I prepared an application and submitted it to the hiring committee. Or I prepared myself through my whole life to be a perfect delight, and now I submit myself to God. But a submission can also be something that we withdraw, as in, I submit to questioning, or I submit myself to your will. So I think this line, perfect submission, all is at rest, is a reminder to submit to God's will and be peaceful with that. To withdraw our need to control and manage and rest assured that God's got this. It's all good. And then in the chorus later, we hear, "Praising my Savior all the day long." We know there are people who spend hours in prayer each day, but for me personally, that seems really tough to do. So there must be another way. Maybe praising the Savior can mean living well. Do you think that you and I might be praising the Savior if we were to pay for the person behind us in the Tim Hortons line? Do you think we might be praising the Savior if we put a little "I love you" note in our partner's lunch or our kid's lunch? What about making dinner and delivering it to a sick friend? Or listening to a senior tell a story from their youth, even if we've heard it many times before? I wonder if praising the Savior all the day long can just mean living as an ambassador of God's love, Maybe it's that simple. And maybe that's our life's only real challenge. When I wear my academic hat, I study performance anxiety and how it affects musicians. I study it because I have performance anxiety, and I want to help others find their way around it and through it. So often I have felt, and many of the singers that I've worked with have felt, worry and fear of judgment. What if I'm not good enough? What if I make a mistake? What if people don't like me or don't like my music? What if I don't do this music justice? Maybe you can relate to some of these feelings too, either in music or in life. Through study, self-exploration, time, and practice, I have developed strategies to help quiet those anxious thoughts. And so now the benefits and pleasures of performance outweigh the what-ifs and the worries. But without being filled with faith and being able to surrender to the moment, those strategies are just more things to think about in my performance checklist. I'm telling you this now because I think on some level, it all comes down to blessed assurance. When we can truly understand and accept without question that we have been blessed, each of us, with gifts from God, we can rest assured that there's really nothing left to do but share them. I think it's the same when we put ourselves out there as people of God. The benefits and pleasures of living God's word outweigh the what-ifs and the worries. When we understand how it is to feel assured, to let go of the need to control the outcome, because we know that everything will unfold as it's meant to, then there's nothing left to do but bring our best selves to any situation. Sure, there might be discomfort and surprises, but there will also be lessons and opportunities for growth. So a performance can happen with me feeling worried and desperate to do well, or I can sing feeling blessed and assured. You can go about your business living as a child of God, feeling worried and desperate to live well. Or you can just live feeling blessed and assured. Add faith, sprinkle with surrender, stir and serve. Maybe you can relate to some of this. So in conclusion then, I'll share this clever play on words from American astrologer Rob Bresny. He says, rather than living life paranoid, be pronoid. Pronoia is the suspicion that the whole world is conspiring to shower you with blessings. Can you imagine that? Now we get to greet the world with curious excitement, thinking, wow, I wonder what blessings the world will send me today. So whether we're living with pronoia or with blessed assurance, I hope that today the divine will show us the way. Thank you for listening and for reflecting with us. And we are hoping now to just share a bit of that hymn with you, Blessed Assurance. It's found in Voices United at 337. If you'd like to have a look and kind of digest those words as we go, you're most welcome to join in and hum along and certainly sing along the chorus with us. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a fortitude!
will be a congregational meeting for Trinity United Church Summerside on Sunday, August 30th, 2026, following in-person worship. The congregational meeting is called to share the community of faith profile, including position description for coordinating minister, thank the community of faith profile team, share next steps, and appoint the search team. The Community of Faith profile and meeting agenda will be available Sunday, August 23rd. The August 16 service will be conducted by the Ministry and Personnel Team, Trinity staff, and Louise Elder. Thank you to Kathy Pavlik and Louise Elder for leading today's service, as well as the Trinity Choir and all others who contributed. For additional information on the work, life and work of Trinity United Church Summerside, please see the bulletin or summer newsletter, which can be found at each entrance or on the website, trinitysummerside.ca. Thank you.
Thank you, Arnie. Our offering will now be received. Gracious God, we offer our gifts of time, talent, and treasure that they may be used to support and sustain your church. We share who we are, we share what we do, and we share what we have in humble service of you. Loving God, we invite you to walk with us. When we have our feet in the sand and the waves kissing our toes, we know you walk with us. When we feel rushed and stressed by busy schedules and travel plans, we feel your calming presence. When we long to be heard amidst the noise of clamoring tourists or bustling families, we know you hear us. When we are hurting, grieving, or suffering, we know you are there to comfort, to bless, and to assure us. Walk with us, God. In Jesus' name, we pray. I invite you now to join us for hymn number 665 in Voices United. Another lovely Fanny Crosby set of words, "Pass me not, O gentle Savior."
Oh,
Thank you for today. And may the love of God surround you as you go into the world. May you feel blessed and assured of God's wondrous work. Go with hope, with assurance, and with faith. Amen.